I want to start, I guess, with what happened in Los Angeles. The first game for the LA Rams. Seattle heavily favored coming in. They put up 3 points. Is this how concerned now, because we know Russell Wilson's battling a high ankle sprain, or at least that's the report. Were you expecting them to go in and lay an egg in LA, or what are you seeing? Because I don't think it's the Rams, but what are you seeing out of the Seahawks right now?
I thought it'd be a tough, close game because the Rams' defense gives them fits even when their offense was going well. I thought they'd shut the Rams down and hold them to, 10 points or less, and they did. I just thought they'd muster more than a single, solitary field goal or whatever it was. They've got issues there. There's no doubt about it. The offensive line is atrocious right now. And, there's some help coming from within. They took a guard in the first round. They feel very good about him and his ability to especially be a mauler in the run game. But, he's been inactive. He's been injured the first 2 weeks. Yes, Russell Wilson's got a bad ankle. He's a gamer. He's playing with it, but it limits his ability to do a lot of the run action stuff, the fake handoffs, the misdirection plays, the pistol type alignments. There's not a whole lot of that with him right now. At times, it didn't look like he could fire through his throws normally, especially early in the game. And I guess the ankle might have got a little more loose as things went along. But, the defense has been great. The defense hasn't given up anything. Not that they've played great offenses in Miami and the Rams, but the defense looks pretty darn good. The offense, they can't establish a run game. They can't force teams to have to respect their run game or sell out to stop their run game. Jimmy Graham is a non-factor. It's not good right now. It's certainly not good. It's still very early. The one thing I will say is that's one of the most aggressive, proactive front offices in the league. That's not a group of guys there in John Schneider and Pete Carroll who will sit there and try to convince themselves that everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. So whether it's trading for a left tackle like Joe Thomas from Cleveland or in some other way finding a veteran to upgrade what they have there now and then really hope that Afedi, the guard they took, can make a difference when he comes back, we'll see. But they've got issues right now all across that offensive line, and it's been a concern for a few years, and it seems to be acute right now.
Is Marshawn Lynch coming back?
Nah. If he comes back, it won't be there, and it won't be for $9 million. And no, Marshawn, I don't. Marshawn, there's no running back's going to ride in there on his white horse and save the day. And honestly, I don't know how much of the problem is really Rawls and Kristen Michael. I don't know that there's a whole lot of holes there right now. I mean, they got their lunch handed to them by Ndamukong Suh and those guys in week one. And they got their lunch handed to them these are two pretty good defensive lines. I mean, when Miami comes to play defensively like they did week one, and they still had Earl Mitchell wasn't hurt yet. When you got Mitchell and Sue and Wake, some of these guys, they can give you trouble. And certainly the Rams D-line, when they come to play and it's, Brockers and Donald and Quinn, like that's an issue for pretty much anybody. So some of it's been exacerbated by who they play, but no, I don't think I don't know that it's a running back issue as much as it's a offensive line issue.
A couple of key injuries yesterday. I know it's early on a Monday morning, but do you have anything on Adrian Peterson and Jimmy Garoppolo?
I mean, Peterson obviously does not look good. There's a lot of concern that's an MCL or ACL issue. They won't know the extent of it until he has his MRI. Definitely concerned that he's going to miss some time. With Garoppolo, it is a day-to-day issue. They haven't officially ruled him out for this week. Now, I mean, look, they play again on Thursday, so the idea that he's going to come back from even a smaller injury to his throwing shoulder in 48 hours is probably asking a bit much. But they'll see what he's able to do, how the swelling subsides, what treatment provides. But nothing that they determined at that hospital led them to believe he's out for any great stretch of time. So even if he misses this week, now there's 9 days till they play again. I dare say we haven't seen the last of Jimmy Garoppolo before Tom Brady comes back.
Boy, he looked good until he went down, didn't he?
He didn't look good. He looked superior.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a top 10 NFL quarterback. Now, again, it's against Miami. We can throw in all the caveats we want. But he still didn't have Gronk. He still didn't have a dominant offensive line. And it was, I mean, the box score looks great, but there's some throws he made, especially a bunch of throws on third and six or longer, where he was so quick to find his hot read. He was so quick to determine where that blitz was coming from and dissect it correctly and then throw the beautiful ball to Edelman in the touchdown for the touchdown. There was another third and nine right before, I think it was the play he got hurt on, where he senses where the pressure's coming from. He naturally slides with quality footwork away from the blitz, plants himself, and is able to make a great throw under distress. There's a lot there to like, man. And it's just another feather in New England's cap. Nobody talks about player development. Nobody talks about the ability to coach up players. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, the teaching doesn't stop when you draft them. In a lot of cases, it's just starting. And there's few better than Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator of the Patriots. And it's not just that this kid was ready to play. He's ready to excel under duress in difficult situations without his best guys around him. Even if he never threw another ball this year, if that was a serious shoulder injury, there'd be enough on film that these desperate teams will already be calling Bill Belichick, filling up his voicemail with trade requests.
Pittsburgh looks really good. What about that victory at home against Cincinnati?
Like the run defense. It's not sexy. It's not what people talk about most, but it's something they had to get right. If they were going to go back to being the Pittsburgh Steelers that don't just struggle to make the playoffs, but that you fear come January, they were going to have more teeth and more bite in that front seven, and it's there. It's been there two straight weeks. I mean, I don't know if they've allowed 100 yards rushing yet on the season. I think maybe 101 yards through two games. Now, it hasn't been a ton of attempts. I think Washington ran the ball 12 times. Cincinnati only ran it about 18. But that's partly because you can't get their offense off the field. So if the defense is just a little bit better than it has been, especially against the run, then I think that's a team you have to really start looking at as a potential number one seed in the AFC, which I kind of peg them to be. They have to stay healthy, obviously. But that was a throwback game. I mean, ugly weather, rain, the field completely muddy. It wasn't going to be a track meet. It wasn't going to be the first team to 35 wins. The secondary still concerns me, and Andy Dalton got his yardage. But if they're a bend-but-not-break defense that stops the run, that's probably more than they need with what that offense is going to be. Oh, and this Le'Veon Bell dude, he comes back in a week, too.
Scary.
Wanted to ask you about the 0-2 teams. We know what the math is, and it isn't good. New Orleans, Washington, looking here as well, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Bills. Of this 0-2 group, is there anyone in there that would give you faith or belief that they could battle back for a playoff spot of any kind?
I mean, somebody's got to win the AFC South. I know that Houston's 2-0. I guess I'm still a little bit of a agnostic when it comes to them. I'm not quite a believer. So, you know, whether it's the Colts or the Jags, if somebody goes off and wins, you know, goes 6-0 within that crappy division, I got news for you. They're probably going to the playoffs. So I don't know that you can write them off just because it's almost like grading a test on a curve, right? They've got a subsidy. They've got, you know, there's so little competency in that division overall that it's going to keep those guys afloat for a while. I mean, other 0-2 teams that sort of intrigue me, I mean, I think most of them are cooked, you know. I think the Saints are cooked. I think there's a lot of bad football teams out there right now. The Browns and the Bills were cooked before the season even started. You know, look, it was ugly, but that was a big win for the Rams. It really was. And in a year where, again, even in that division, other than Arizona yesterday, not week one, no one in that division has really looked good yet. I mean, you know, San Francisco gives up 50 points. I mean, I know they look good against the Rams, but that was on a day where Case Keenum literally couldn't complete a forward pass. So that was a big win for them. Yeah, I mean, but by and large, most of these teams are, you know, we didn't think they were going to the playoffs, and they're not going to the playoffs.
See, I'm with you. I just wanted to see. I wanted to pick your brain because I'm with you 100%.
What about the Redskins then, though? Because this NFC East was so bad last year, somebody had to win it. It was Washington. How are they 0-2?
Well, the offense has looked terrible. Kirk Cousins is not playing good football. He's been really bad in the red zone, which is an area where I think last year he had something like 16 touchdowns and one pick. This year he's got a couple of red zone turnovers already. They don't run the ball at all. They can't establish a run game, and the quarterback's throwing picks in the red zone. I mean, that the defense actually, to me, has been okay, all things considered. I know everybody's going gaga over Josh Norman and who he lines up on and where he is any given, you know, snap. I got news for you. He hasn't and never will be Champ Bailey in his prime, Deion Sanders in his prime, Darrell Revis in his prime. Even to me, he's not even Aqib Talib. Like I think he's, you know, people get carried away with the contract. He's a zone corner who, if you let him play a 7 to 9 yard quadrant and jump balls with a safety over the top, he'll make some plays. If you try to line him up on a real legitimate number one receiver for 70 snaps with no help over the top, he's going to get exposed repeatedly, and they know that, which is why they're not doing it. Did they overpay for him? Yeah, but their secondary was garbage, and so that's what you do. I think Washington's in trouble. They played two home games already and lost them. Dallas never wins with a backup quarterback. They finally won with a backup quarterback, and they did it on the road against a rival, no less. Washington had chances to put that game away late. Cousins threw a brutal interception in the end zone. I think that's a team that has some wounded confidence right now. I actually think even in that mediocre division, if any 0-2 team needs a win, it's Washington. If you want to make the case that they could still be a division winner, then they better show it next week.
Great game last night. Green Bay mini hangs on even after losing AP. Obviously, that's not going to help their season, but the defense looks really good.
Defense is legit. They certainly get after it. I think Green Bay is a team that, as we go along, we're going to find that roster is not what it used to be. I've had a lot of personnel people whispering that in my ear since the end of training camp, the end of the preseason, I should say. And that Aaron Rodgers covers up a lot of, you know, much more than where he's given credit for. And now that he's, you know, just a little bit more human and not otherworldly, they seem to be getting exposed a little bit. You know, the pass rush, Matthew's getting a little older. Peppers can, you know, he plays, you know, one of every four snaps. There's some issues there with them defensively. They were kind of lucky to beat Jacksonville. That's a team that could be 0-2 right now. But, yeah, Minnesota, they do a lot of things right. The Peterson injury, I mean, go back to, like, week 10 of last season. Adrian Peterson's been a pedestrian at best running back. Now, I can't put it all on him because, just like I said about Seattle, that offensive line is not very good. They're not winning any one-to-one battles. They're not putting a helmet on a helmet and pushing guys back. They're suffering. I actually feel like McKinnon could be an interesting guy in that the way they're running that offense now, because they're going to have to throw it a lot anyway. He's better than Peterson catching the ball. He's better than Peterson out in space. He's got a little more juke and shimmy to him. So I'll be interested to see how that shakes out. It looks like this Peterson injury will be something that keeps him out for at least some period of time. And I wonder if he's 31 years old. I mean, it happens to everybody. And maybe being unencumbered of the idea that we've got to run the offense through Peterson, I don't know that that's the case anymore, especially if the offensive line is what it is.
Enjoy the Monday Nighter. We will catch up again on Thursday. As always, we appreciate it, Jason.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Jason Lockenfour, our NFL insider.